The voice you are about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across London today. This is Chandra's story. Healthcare training in Orpington has become a maze of closed doors, where qualified candidates circle endlessly through a system that claims to lack resources, while hospital wards go understaffed. The work exists, the people exist, but the connections between them have been severed by decisions made in Whitehall about what the country can supposedly afford.
I used to walk past Princess Royal University Hospital on my way to college and imagine myself in the blue uniform, making the kind of difference my grandmother's nurses made for our family. She spent her final months on the ward there, and I watched how the staff balanced technical skill with genuine care. That was what I wanted to do with my life. I'd saved £3,000 working as a healthcare assistant while living with my parents in our Victorian terrace, ready to fund myself through training. In 2019, I applied to King's College London. The course had everything I was looking for: clinical placements across South London, a strong reputation, and graduates who spoke passionately about their training. 3 weeks after my interview, I received a letter saying the course was oversubscribed. The admissions officer suggested I reapply the following year when more places might be available. It sounded reasonable. Competition was tough, and I needed to be patient. I spent 2020 working extra shifts and strengthening my application. When I contacted Health Education England directly, hoping to understand how training places were allocated, the conversation changed everything. The representative was frank. Training places have been reduced due to budget constraints imposed by NHS England. Treasury spending limits mean we simply cannot afford to fund all the training places we need. There it was. The phrase I would hear again and again: we cannot afford it. I accepted this explanation initially. It sounded like basic economics. Money was tight, choices had to be made, and I was unfortunate to be caught in the squeeze. I applied to St George's, Greenwich, and Queen Mary. All three gave me identical responses about funding caps. The training places had been reduced, the money wasn't there. By 2021, I had completed additional healthcare qualifications at Bromley College, earned excellent references, and gained more clinical experience. I reapplied to King's and two other programmes. The responses were the same: budget constraints, spending limits, no funding available. I contacted my MP's office, hoping they might know about upcoming changes or additional funding. The response confirmed what I had been told. Health Education England's budget had been capped by HM Treasury. Training places were limited by what the government could afford to spend. The logic seemed airtight. While volunteering at Princess Royal University Hospital in 2022, I made a discovery that changed how I understood the whole system. I was helping to move equipment when I noticed two entire floors that should have been bustling with nursing students. The classrooms were empty. The simulation labs with their expensive mannequins and monitoring equipment sat unused. When I asked a senior nurse about it, she explained that two training cohorts had been cancelled due to the funding constraints I knew so well. But the rooms were there. The equipment was there. The clinical placements existed on the wards below. Then I met Sarah, a qualified nurse from Ireland, and James, who had trained in Nigeria. Both were working as healthcare assistants because their overseas credentials weren't being processed quickly enough by the Nursing and Midwifery Council. Sarah had been waiting 8 months for her application to be reviewed. James had been waiting over a year. They were doing the same work as healthcare assistants that they had been trained to do as nurses, but couldn't be formally recognised because of administrative delays. Here were the contradictions I could see with my own eyes: empty training rooms designed for the courses I couldn't access, qualified nurses working below their level because paperwork wasn't being processed, hospital managers complaining about staff shortages while training programs sat cancelled. The people existed. The facilities existed. The need existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I started asking different questions. The government that issues the pound told me it could not find enough pounds to train people who were ready to work in a sector desperately short of staff. But pounds are not a finite resource that the government discovers buried in the ground. The Treasury creates them when it spends. The question was never whether the money existed somewhere, waiting to be found. The question was whether the people, the buildings, the equipment, and the clinical placements existed. They did. All of them. I realized the excuse was not a fact about the world. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. When someone says a household cannot afford something, they mean they do not have enough money in their account. But a government that issues its own currency does not have an account that can run empty in the same way. The limit was never the money. The limit was the decision not to create the money and spend it into the places where it was needed. I used to accept that there was no funding was simply how things were. I hear it differently now. Every time a training program was cancelled, every time a place was left unfunded, every time someone told me the cupboard was bare, a political choice was being dressed up as an economic fact. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins decided not to create enough of them to connect willing people to necessary work. I am still here, still watching, still hoping to train as a nurse. But I understand now that what I experienced is not unique to healthcare or to Orpington. It is the story of every constituency where people and resources exist side by side while someone in Westminster insists the money isn't there. The resources were never the problem. The willingness to deploy them was.
What Chandra experienced has a name: fake experts. This is the technique of citing economists or commentators who treat government budgets exactly like household budgets, as though repeating this comparison makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies once marshalled scientists to argue that smoking was safe, despite overwhelming evidence of harm. The authority of expertise was deployed to maintain a profitable fiction. The same pattern appears in economic policy. Certain economists are elevated precisely because they reinforce the household budget analogy, not because their analysis is sound. In Chandra's story, every official who said there is no money was applying household logic to a currency issuer. When Health Education England cited Treasury spending limits, when NHS England pointed to budget constraints, when the MP's office confirmed funding caps, they were all treating pounds as though the government must find them before it can spend them. The austerity objection is typical. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: nurses, training facilities, clinical placements. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Orpington ranks 483 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 20th to 25, placing it in deprivation decile 9. The constituency has 686 registered charities according to the Charity Commission register. Total grants received amount to £10.4 million according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.